You ready for the word? We're going to continue this series on wisdom. And if you'd like a subtitle, because I always like to have subtitles, you can write this down. If you want to get into heaven, you got to take notes in church. You write this down, squishy dumpling. Squishy dumpling. Parents, I think you know what I'm talking about, squishy dumpling. Why don't we pray? I'll explain that in a moment. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your church, your house, that we get to gather together as your family. And God, that you meet us here. Wow. That you meet us here. That your tangible presence is here to meet with every person in this room. Whether we know you really well or we haven't quite met you yet, we thank you that we can meet you today. Presence is so good. And we come before you with humble hearts and open minds because, God, we acknowledge we need you and we need the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, for me personally, as I prayed this week, as I prayed on my knees this morning before church, I need you. Holy Spirit, help me to preach your word. Anoint these words. God, I thank you for your grace, your power, your authority. I need it. I acknowledge again that I am nothing without you. And God, I just thank you that the New York Knicks won the NBA championship. And everybody said, thank you, John. It's my good friend. By the way, it was great. He's already gone, but it was great to see my friend Brad playing for the first time this morning. Anybody love our worship band, team? I don't know if what I'm about to show you on the screen has affected your household like it has affected mine. But if we can throw this photo on the screen, if you don't know what this is, you can ask any parent. That is called a squishy dumpling. And for whatever reason, it is all that my daughter wants. Any parents know what I'm talking about. It is all that my daughter wants is this squishy dumpling. I don't understand it. I don't know why. But she wants this squishy dumpling. The only problem is these things are impossible to find. I'm going to Five Below. I'm calling Five Below every day. Do you guys have these in stock? I've waited in line for this squishy dumpling. I've offered bribery, $20 to get early access. It's all she wants. To the point where we've gone to the store. I'm like, sweetie, you can have anything else in the store. Whatever you want. If you don't have this squishy dumpling, but you can have anything else. She's like, Dad, no, it's this one thing. It's this one thing I want. It's this one thing I need. Your kid ever say that to you? I need this. It's this one thing I want, one thing I need. I don't want anything else in the store. There's all these other things. I want this one thing. I wonder, church, if God came up to you today and he said, hey, you can have whatever you want. God said, you can have whatever you want. Ask of me, and I will give it to you. I wonder, what would you say? If God came up to you today and said, what is your biggest need? What is your biggest want? I'll give it to you. I wonder today, church, what do we want? Think about this. What do you want in life? What do you want from God? I wonder, what do you think that you need? My prayer is that our answer to this question might begin to change after we receive God's word today. We're reading from the book of Proverbs today. This is mostly written by King Solomon, famously known as the wisest man to ever live. What a title. Solomon was made wise not by life experience, not by his age, not by listening to podcasts, not by his talent, but Solomon was made the wisest man to ever live by a wisdom that only comes from above. How did Solomon gain this wisdom. He asked for it. God asked Solomon in a dream. He says, Solomon, you can have anything. What do you want from me? Ask me for whatever you want. And Solomon, in the context of this question, has just been pushed into the leadership of kingship after his father, King David, has died. And Solomon, think about this, is probably in his early 20s. And so he is aware, the Bible shows us that Solomon is aware of his inadequacy to lead, to govern at this level. Solomon feels the magnitude and burden of leadership in this new position of king. And Solomon has the humility to ask, not for riches, not for glory, not for fame, not for talent, but he asks for what he later declares is the one thing that is more precious than the finest riches that the world could offer, wisdom. Again, I ask today, church, if God came to you and said, hey, what do you want? What would we say? Think about this. What would it be? What do you want? What do we want? God, I want more money. God, I want success. God, I want fame. I want to be known. God, I want status. God, I want comfort. If you're like me, God, I just want to be 6 foot tall. Just want my hairline back wherever it went, if you could find it. God, I just want the Mets to win one game. And yet Solomon shows us the most valuable commodity to ask for is wisdom. Church, the Holy Spirit is here today asking us, what do you want? Do you want wisdom? I've got good news. Wisdom is not out of stock at Five Below. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, is available for you today. James 1:5 says this in the New Testament, if any of you lacks wisdom, anybody lack wisdom? Just curious. I lack wisdom, I want more of it. The Bible says if any of you lacks wisdom, you should what? Ask God, who gives generously. God is not withholding. It's not saying it's out of stock today, you have to check again tomorrow. God gives generously to who? All. What does all mean? All. Without finding fault. I'm thankful for that. And it will be given to you. Proverbs 1, 20 through 21 says this, wisdom shouts in the streets. You ever met somebody who's loud? I'm a loud person. Shouting is loud. Wisdom shouts in the streets. Wisdom is not whispering. Wisdom is shouting in the streets. She cries out. Notice it says she. If you're wondering why it says she, you need wisdom. She cries out in the public square. Who's in the public square? Everybody. She calls to the crowds along the main street. It's covering all the bases of society. To those gathered in front of the city gate, this is where the leaders would meet to discuss important topics. Wisdom shouts. Wisdom is shouting. And if wisdom is shouting, why is it so many Christians can't hear it? I wonder, church, do we want wisdom? Do we desire wisdom? Are we growing in our wisdom? Are you more wise than you were this time last year? Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you're getting more wise. Amen. What is wisdom? It doesn't just mean intellectual. It doesn't mean you're street smart. You can even be full of biblical knowledge yet still live like a fool. What does wisdom mean? I love Tim Keller's biblical definition of wisdom. He says this: wisdom is competence with regard to the realities of life, to how life really works. Another definition I think is true is this: the correct application of knowledge. We're going to look at what wisdom is in Proverbs 1. This book of wisdom, chapter 1, verse 1, gives us the purpose of Proverbs. It's King Solomon writing. He says this: these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Now, it's important, church, before we leave today and maybe we're compelled to go read Proverbs, that as we read the book of Proverbs, we know that Proverbs are not promises of God. It's important we understand this. It is not a promise of God. Proverbs are principles to live by. Verse 2, their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. One of the meanings of insight is when you have insight, you notice details that other people don't notice. You see and notice differences in people and situations, maybe in a business deal, that other people don't see. I want insight. Verse 3, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Another way to say this is for your soul, which is the theme of our church this year, for your soul to prosper. To help them, this is the purpose of Proverbs and wisdom, to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. Wisdom helps us to live righteously. I'm glad Jesse's excited about that. Nobody else is. Verse 4, these proverbs will give insight to the simple. What does this word simple mean? The Hebrew word for simple, it means this: gullible and naive. Have you ever been naive in a situation? Proverbs will give you insight to where you are naive. Knowledge and discernment. These proverbs will give knowledge and discernment to the young. Now, this doesn't just mean young people, although it is a characteristic of many young people. What the Bible is speaking to here is when you are young that you care too much what people think. You are so persuaded. Wisdom is knowledge and discernment. We need both. It's no good having knowledge if you have no discernment. And not just discerning between right and wrong. Have you ever experienced where discernment oftentimes is discerning between right and almost right? Verse 5, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Solomon is encouraging us today. Hey, church family, listen to these proverbs and become wiser. Anybody want to be more wise? I don't know if that's grammatically correct or that's wise to say, but wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Guidance. You ever need guidance? Ever needed guidance in a situation? God, I just need your guidance. I'm not sure which way to go or how to approach this or how to handle this conflict or this situation or this family member. God, I need your guidance. Verse 6. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables. How do we get guidance? We explore wisdom. By exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. We explore wisdom. We explore the word of God. How do we explore wisdom? How do we explore wisdom? Verse 7, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. How do we explore wisdom? The fear of God is the foundation of wisdom. And then the Bible says, but fools. Turn to your neighbor and say, sup, fool. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I can't believe they just called me a fool. Church, watch this. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but fools. Man, I've been a fool. Anybody been a fool? But fools despise wisdom and guidance. Wisdom and discipline. Church, I have despised the wisdom of God in my life. What does a fool mean? A fool is wise in their own eyes. And while the simple care too much what people think, the fool doesn't care enough. A fool seeks no wisdom from God, no wisdom from others, and only cares about the opinion of oneself. Oh, I've been a fool. Notice the world opposes the wisdom of God. The devil loves stirring the water of the wisdom of God. Did God really say this? It opposes the wisdom of God, which leads. This is why the devil loves to stir this, because it leads to destruction. What is the Bible saying? A fool. It is foolish to reject the wisdom of God. God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, almighty, sovereign, true and just and holy. It is foolish to reject his wisdom. I know how often I've been foolish. It is foolish to fear man and not fear God. Proverbs 9:10. Y'all still with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Psalms 128 verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. One of the things that fear of God helps me to do is walk in his ways. 2 Corinthians, we'll jump into the New Testament, chapter 7 verse 1. Paul speaking to Corinthian church, since we have these promises, beloved, speaking to the church, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. Let us be sanctified, bringing holiness to completion in what? In the fear of God. Philippians 2, verse 12, again, Paul speaking to the Philippian church. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Anybody working out your salvation? Or you're perfect? Anybody working out your salvation? I'm thankful for the patience and the grace of God that allows me to work out my salvation. How do we do it? The Bible says, work out your own salvation. Many of us are trying to work out somebody else's salvation. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Church, how do we explore wisdom? How do we open the door into the room of wisdom? It's the fear of God. If wisdom is a room and fear of God is the door, what is the key? Humility. Fear of God. It's important we understand this today, church, is not a hidden, rare aspect of God's word. The fear of God is an anthem that sings all throughout God's word. It is abundant in the Old Testament. It is clear in the New. Paul urges the early church to have a fear of God. Peter speaks to the early church, have a fear of God. The writer of Hebrews urges the church, we need a fear of God. Jesus speaks more of the fear of God than he does of heaven. And I believe the Holy Spirit is urging us today as a Wave Church family to consider this. Because I believe that there is a problem in the Western comfortable church where we know what it is to look the part And we know what it is to do the church thing, but do we know what it is to fear God? Solomon tells us something about the fear of God. It is the door to wisdom. Fear of God is the entryway to wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But what is fear of God? First, I'll tell you what it is not. Fear of God, it is not cowering before God. It is not afraid of God. That is the fear of the unbeliever. That is the fear of sin yet to collide with the power of the cross. But we no longer fear the wrath of God. Why? Because Jesus took our place and he received the holy wrath of God in and on himself. He took our sin on our behalf. So we don't fear approaching the presence of God in his holiness because he has clothed us in the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Fear of what? Fear of wrath and judgment. The fear of God as a believer, church, it is an awe and reverence of who God is. I am gripped by his holiness. I am gripped by the might of God. My mighty God, who is more powerful, all-knowing, and he's holy. And he loves me as a perfect father. And he welcomes me. Wow! It is the reality of understanding the gospel of who God really is. And so I tremble in his presence with honor and humility that you would meet me here. God, that you loved me, that you saved me, and you were holy and you were perfect and you were righteous and you are a loving father and you want to be in relationship with me. And you want to use me to be your church. I'm in awe and wonder of the reality of the gospel of who God is. Can I get an amen? Amen. The fear of God doesn't just tremble in his presence. The fear of God trembles at the word of God. That this book that we read are the very words of God. Sharper than a double-edged sword, that your Holy Spirit is alive and active, and it shows me the truth and revelation and wisdom of the Word of God. The fear of God, it changes my approach to God and his Word. That I tremble. Wow. It changes my approach to his Word. Instead of pridefully disagreeing with things in his Word, in humility, I ask the Holy Spirit to show me where God's word disagrees with me. Transform me, God. Wisdom is the door. Humility is the key. May we be humble enough to acknowledge mighty Yahweh. Humble enough to ask God for wisdom. If you're here today and you don't want it, humble enough to ask God, God, help me to want it. Humble enough to ask God, God, help me fear you. That was my prayer before preaching today. God, help me to grow in my fear and awe and wonder of you. Humble enough to ask God, God, I need your wisdom for my life. I need your wisdom for my family. I need your wisdom for my marriage. I need your wisdom for my relationships. I need your wisdom for my coworkers because they're crazy. Yeah. 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 I need your wisdom for my career. I need your wisdom for every choice that I make. Humility before God, it produces repentance and transformation. Because fear of God puts our Lord and Savior in his rightful place. Where? At the center. At the sovereign top of my life. How often I hear this, God is a part of my life. He's not a part of my life. He is my life. Fear of God puts him where he belongs. Sovereign. Church, do we fear God or do we fear man? Do we fear God? Can we humbly admit that we need wisdom today? I wonder, where do you need wisdom today? Think about this. Where in your life do you need wisdom? What have you been doing in your own knowledge, your own effort, your own pride that needs the wisdom of God? And if that's you today and you want wisdom and you want to grow in your fear of him, you want a desire to grow in his presence, and you want a desire to feast on the word of God. Yes. Have you ever been in that place where you don't desire to read the Bible? Oh, it's just me. But if you want that desire, God, give me a desire to feast in your word. Today, church, in humility, ask him. Humble yourself and ask him. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So maybe your biblical diet this summer. Anybody going on a diet this summer? More ice cream. Can I get an amen? I got a problem with ice cream. You need to pray for me. I'm thinking about it right now. Vanilla chip, strawberry, chocolate, and then don't judge me, I get Jif peanut butter, creamy, not crunchy, because I'm not a psychopath, and I will take a scoop of ice cream, and then I'll take a scoop of peanut butter, and I'll eat it all at the same time. God, give me your wisdom to restrain. What are we talking about? Maybe your biblical diet this summer is not ice cream. Maybe it is a proverb a day. There's 31 chapters, a chapter for every day of the month. I would encourage you today, church, feast on a proverb a day this summer. Proverbs is full of wisdom for life, and it shows us what wisdom does, what it produces. And there are many things. I was praying, Holy Spirit, what is one of the principles of wisdom that you would like for us as a church family to consider today? One of the things that wisdom does that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to receive as a church family is revealed in Proverbs 11:30. And I would like to suggest before we read it that the more that we grow in wisdom, the more evangelistic we become. The band can come on up. Proverbs 11:30 says this: the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You remember the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? Yeah. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of your life is a tree of life. And then the Bible says, and whoever captures souls is wise. Church, the fruit of our righteous living becomes a tree of life for people around us to be compelled to eat from. The fruit of our righteous living, living in the wisdom and fear of God, becomes a tree that those around us can desire to eat from. In fear of God, it brings transformation in my life because I'm repenting and I'm changing. So the tree of my life is growing and it's bearing fruit in righteousness. And it becomes a tree of life that is a witness to the world. I wonder, what does your tree look like today? Church, does your life compel people to Christ? My life does not always compel people to Christ. Does our righteous living compel? Does my life sing, God, I love you? Does my life sing, God, I fear you? The Bible says, whoever captures souls is wise. Wisdom wins souls. Fear of God gives us the wisdom on how to win souls. Wisdom on how to win souls with our actions, with our words, and with our spirit. There is a supernatural wisdom available to win souls. There is someone in my life right now that is very close to me, and I've been praying and asking God. They don't know the Lord yet. I've been praying and asking God, God, give me your wisdom on how to share the gospel with this person that I love. You ever have someone in your life and you love them and you want to see them encounter Christ, but you just don't know how it will happen yet? We need wisdom. Because it's probably not wise to show up at their house and start preaching the word of God. We need wisdom. We need wisdom to discern whether or not we should boldly share the gospel with them today. We need wisdom on whether or not we should invite them to church. The answer to that is always yes. Can I get an amen? We need wisdom on should we speak a word of encouragement or insight into their life. We need wisdom to discern should we remain in patience and prayer and allow the fruit of my life to be the water that seeds the eternity that is in their heart. A wise church wins souls. We are not a foolish church. Can I get an amen? We are a soul-winning church. The world says success is gaining and attaining things. Godly wisdom says success is gaining and attaining souls. So I ask, Wave Church, when was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Does the transformation in our lives compel people to Christ? And we are stepping into the summer months, and every year as a church family, we focus on winning souls over the summer months. Church, may I remind us that every day we walk by, we work with, we interact with people who need the gospel. Every Sunday, people walk into this church lost, hurting, and broken, looking for hope. And if I could have a little church family moment, so if you're new today, you can just get on your phone and get on Facebook and talk about how much you love our church. And I want to talk to our church family for a moment. We cannot get too comfortable with our little friend groups here at church. Church, hear me. Before, during, and after service, and miss the urgency of including someone in your circle at church. Make no mistake, the church is full of circles, different circles. That's what I love about the church, but they are not closed circles. So today after church, before you talk to your friends that you always talk to, and I love that. One of my favorite things about church is that my friends are here. It'd be hard to come here if my friends weren't here. Can I get an amen? Before we talk to our friends, can I remind us today that as we leave the service, there's people waiting. Could you introduce yourself to somebody that you don't know after service today? Can you look for somebody who's waiting and looking for connection in that lobby? Just a moment, we're going to give people the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. And there are people in this, many people in this room, you're going to surrender your life to Jesus, and we're going to give you this book. Church, if you see somebody with that book in the lobby, congratulate them. Introduce yourself to them. Include them in your circle. I wonder, when was the last time that you met somebody at church and you invited them to sit with you? Can I remind us of the first time that you were stepped foot in church? How daunting that can be. What is this? What is this music? What is this building? Is that preacher wearing a soccer jersey? Is that allowed? Church, we got more people to reach. I watched the U.S. World Cup game this week, and I noticed something. I watched the pre-show leading up to the game. I noticed that there were many people who were in the stadium 2 hours before the game. And I love that. I think it's awesome. But it concerns me when the church has more urgency to get to a concert or a game early to ensure that we don't miss a moment. And yet how often we casually arrive late to church. Why? Because we've lost the fear of God for who he is and what it means to be in his house, in his presence, worshiping him. I don't want to miss a moment in the house of God. I'm not going to allow my kids to miss a moment of praise and worship. Now, church, hear me. When we casually arrive late, we've also lost an urgency for people. Because there's somebody that I can meet, that I can include, that I can encourage. Why? Because this is not about me anymore. And if you came to church late today, shame off you. I've been late to church. Can I get an amen? I know what it is to get your kids up in the morning. Can I get an amen? But may we grow in a fear of God. I'm tired of hearing pastors complain about how people show up late to church and that it's never going to change. Hear me. It'll change here. Why? Because we are growing in our fear of God and our urgency for people. And this is my practical request, challenge for us today, is when we leave church and we go eat lunch. Anybody love lunch? This is my challenge for you today, church. Invite somebody with you. When you go to lunch today, invite a friend from church. If you're an introvert, invite a really good friend to church. Maybe you meet somebody. Maybe God orchestrates a moment for you to meet somebody today in the lobby after this service. Invite them to lunch. You don't have to pay for it. You can. Can I get an amen? Holy Spirit, may we be filled with a fresh fear of God today. May we be caught up with what matters. May we be caught up in your glory. May we be gripped by your holiness. Too often we get caught up with everything but the thing that matters, church. We get offended by things that carry no eternal consequence. You know what matters? Can I remind us today? Do you know what matters? Jesus. You know what matters? The church. You know what matters? Your sanctification. You know what matters? The 1.8 million people in Hampton Roads that are going to hell, that are waiting to hear the gospel. Who has the answer? Church, who has the answer? Who has been given the wisdom to share, to give, to proclaim the good news of the gospel? It is you. That's what matters. Wisdom. Win souls. And we are, church, we are on mission. I have faith this summer that we will see many people give their lives to Jesus. Many. Hundreds of people in Hampton Roads, in our church, in our campuses, and other churches. That's what I have faith for this summer. Do you have faith? Seven of you, that's encouraging. Do you have faith?